From KUOW 94.9 Seattle, I'm Ross Reynolds. This is The Conversation. The death toll in that Bangladesh clothing factory accident last month has now jumped to over 700 people. And the scale of the disaster is provoking a debate here at home. What can people in Washington state do to improve working conditions halfway around the globe? What responsibility do U.S. clothing manufacturers have for suppliers in foreign nations, including Bangladesh? And what's your ethical responsibility as a consumer? What do you do? You can write to us, conversation@kuow.org. There just happen to be two campaigns right now by activists against sweatshops here in Washington State. First, University of Washington students are part of a national campaign by a group called United Students Against Sweatshops. They're trying to persuade Gap Incorporated to change its clothing purchasing practices. And there's also an effort underway for Washington State to purchase clothing only when it's produced under fair working conditions. What ethical concerns do you have about the clothing you buy, and how do you make your choices is what we're talking about today. Let's begin with Kristen Bifus, who's executive director of the Washington Fair Trade Coalition. They've been working for the past 2 years to help design and pass a new procurement policy for Washington State. Kristen, what kind of clothing does the state currently buy?
Well, thanks so much for having us on. So we are looking first at apparel, so uniforms. So any state employees that are wearing uniforms, the taxpayer dollars goes to purchasing those uniforms.
Now, some people might think, well, we've got a budget problem here in Washington State. Why shouldn't we just buy the cheapest possible uniforms?
Absolutely. That is a concern. And we do have a policy of, responsible bidding here in Washington State. And we feel, our members of the community, legislators, as well as city officials and government officials themselves feel that responsible bidding involves social responsibility. And when you look at the actual price of a good, it's often workers' wages are less than 1% of the consumer price. So what we're talking about when we're doing business in countries such as Bangladesh and others, we're talking about pennies if we are going to offer a living wage and healthy working conditions.
Your goal is a living wage and healthy working conditions. And I understand the State Department of Enterprise Services is in the process of drafting a new policy so that the state does that, but it hasn't been implemented yet. What's the holdup?
Well, it's still in process right now because Washington State is homogenizing its procurement practices, which we see as a good thing because procurement, there's centralized procurement, there's department procurement, and there's a lot of education that has to happen amongst vendors because with globalization, many vendors don't know their supply chain. They subcontract, and that is subcontracted and again and again. So part of the policy is doing educating of vendors that might feel fearful. They might not know their supply chain. And so it's stepping them through a process whereby which at time of bid, they will have to know the locations of their entire supply chain for a particular item. And then creating this entity called the Sweat-Free Purchasing Consortium, which is a national entity of procurement officials, the city and state level, that will be monitoring vendors to public entities. So it is a long process as the global supply chain grows.
Have you talked to Governor Inslee about this? Is this a top priority? Is he going to push this through?
Well, he has a unique opportunity to appoint the head of the Department of Enterprise Services, which will be providing the leadership. So we are encouraging Governor Inslee's office to keep this in mind in his appointee and to have this be part of the agenda that he or she is working on.
Hey, Kristen, thanks for talking to us.
Thank you so much.
Kristen Bifus, executive director of the Washington Fair Trade Coalition. They've been working for a couple of years to try to get clothing purchased by Washington State to only be made in factories that have safe working conditions and also pay a living wage. Paul Guppy is vice president for research at the Washington Policy Center, a Seattle think tank that promotes free market policies. Paul, you're an advocate for free market solutions. What do you think about this proposal to have the state of Washington set some policies on where it buys its clothes?
I just think while it's a good intention maybe to try to get this done and improve working conditions in other countries, I think the mechanism, particularly as it was described, just shows the weakness of this approach. It's easily politicized, captured by domestic special interests who want to create trade barriers. And even for people who honestly want to improve the procurement process, look how difficult it is for a business owner to know where the products he's buying comes from, what the supply chain is. it's just incredibly top-down and complicated, and I really don't think that would work very well. I think a message from consumers would have a much stronger effect.
But consumers might even have a harder time figuring out what the details are about pay and working conditions in foreign places. Why not have the state impose these regulations on clothiers who want to sell to the state?
Well, that's a great point. And the great thing about consumers is they put pressure directly on companies like The Gap as to where their products come from. So in a way, consumers don't have to have a detailed case to prove their point. All they have to do is send a market signal to these companies saying, I don't want to buy products that come from bad conditions. That puts it on the corporation to look at their own supply chain and work it out. This has happened with environmental protection and other areas where companies want to assure their customers that the company is acting responsibly. And I think that puts the burden right where it should be.
Paul Guppy, stay with us. Let's bring into the conversation Morgan Currier, a senior and history major at the University of Washington, where she also currently serves on the National Coordinating Committee of United Students Against Sweatshops. And Morgan, you're taking a different approach. This is a group of students gathering together to try to put some pressure on Gap Incorporated to change its clothing purchasing practices. How do you want them to change?
Yeah, great question. Thanks for having me. So, you know, Gap has stated that they're a leader in social responsibility, and currently they are the biggest American retailer in Bangladesh. But as we've seen, there have been tragic fires hitting Bangladesh, very preventable fires, and over 1,300 workers have died since 2005 in these fires in factories where Gap is producing. So what we want Gap to do is to sign on to the Bangladesh Fire and Building Safety Agreement, which is a legally binding agreement that would ensure better conditions in all of the factories in Bangladesh where Gap is producing.
Now, these are factories that Gap is subcontracting with. They're hiring these factories to make the clothes. Is that right?
Yeah. And what happens is, you know, they try to place the blame on the subcontractors and the factory owners. But what we know is that brands like The Gap have very deep pockets. You know, they brought in over $15 billion in revenue last year alone. So what we know is that the responsibility really is on the brand, that they can afford to ensure that, you know, the workers don't have to go to work every day and fear a building collapse or a building fire,
yeah,
you know, and are making more than $38 a day.
Morgan, short of going to Bangladesh, how are you going to know that they are actually following through on this, even if they say they're going to do this? So you're talking about a lot of factories very far away. Is someone actually going to go and check out to find out whether it's happening the way they say it's happening, even if they agree to do that?
Yeah, and we'll be working with a lot of independent organizations that will be doing monitoring. I mean, and it's much better than what Gap has proposed, which is a self-auditing model, which they have a policy of for the last 2 years. But what we've seen is the fires continue. So obviously this model of self-monitoring is not effective. And what we need is independent regulation and work on the ground with the workers to ensure that all of this is implemented.
Now, there's justifiable outrage about what went on in Bangladesh with this factory, with these hundreds of people who've died. And as you pointed out, it's certainly not the first time it's happened. But we also heard statements from people in Bangladesh saying, don't pull these factories out. These are extremely important to our communities. Are you at all concerned, Morgan, that these efforts will in some way take away from the average Bangladesh citizen who might be working in a factory that doesn't have these problems? Can it go overboard?
That's a great question. I mean, I think the reason that these things have been occurring in the first place is because Bangladesh offers such poor conditions that most companies are drawn to that and are starting to produce more in Bangladesh. But what's great about the Bangladesh Fire and Building Safety Agreement is that it also holds the brands accountable to ensuring volume within the factories so that, you know, we don't just see that they're improving the factories and leaving, but in fact, you know, we're really trying to ensure a safer, stronger Bangladeshi garment sector.
So, Morgan, where do you buy your clothes? Not at The Gap,
question.
I guess.
I get asked that all the time, and you know, I'll let you know. A lot of my clothes probably are made by workers who are subject to sweatshop conditions. However, that's why I'm part of United Students Against Sweatshops. We really do try to tackle these issues from a systematic level because I want to wear my Adidas and my Nike just as much as the rest.
Wait a minute. You're campaigning to get these practices changed, and yet you're buying clothing made by The Gap and other places that are running factories in Bangladesh. That doesn't seem consistent.
Well, right now, I guarantee you I'm not buying any clothes made in Bangladesh. But what I'm saying is that we have a systematic problem and that, you know, an independent boycott from an individual consumer isn't going to change this enormous problem.
Right.
So, you know, it's really important to be a part of a more systematic change and not just think that, you know, by deciding not to buy a shirt from Gap today, that will make a huge difference. Although I will definitely emphasize not purchasing from Gap at this very moment.
Hey, Morgan, thanks for talking to us.
Yeah, thank you.
Morgan Currier on the National Coordinating Committee of United Students Against Sweatshops. We're going to turn back to Paul Guppy, Vice President for Research at the Washington Policy Center. They focus on free market policies. Paul, said you said that you didn't like the idea of the state trying to do this. This is an effort by UW students. You think this is the right way to go when it comes to trying to influence decisions in foreign countries about how goods and services that we use are being made?
Yes, I do. I think the students are taking the right approach because they are sending a message directly to the company, in this case, the Gap. The solution ultimately lies, of course, with the government of Bangladesh, which needs to take action to protect its own citizens. So that's the ultimate solution. But the Gap can play a role in sending that signal, saying it's hard for us to do trade, our customers don't like it, you have to improve safety conditions in factories, otherwise it affects our bottom line back home. And that's exactly what students are doing. I liked one idea from their website, which they said is write a letter, even a handwritten note, and take it into a Gap, and a polite letter, okay, and hand it to a manager. And companies are very impressed when they see that a customer took the trouble to send them a message like that. Again, if it's respectful, but also says we're concerned about safety in other countries and we would like the Gap to do something about it.
Hey, Paul, thanks you so much for your time. We appreciate it.
Great. Thank you.
Paul Guppy, Vice President for Research at the Washington Policy Center.